songs like Up, Up, and Away, Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, and countless others. The Fifth Dimension was only the beginning for these multiple Grammy Award-winning artists. Marilyn hosted the popular TV show Solid Gold for 5 years, and along with her husband, this dynamic duo were churning out a solid gold of their own with hits like You Don't Have to Be a Star. And after a star in Hollywood's Walk of Fame, performing for presidents and even the Pope, with over 40 years in the entertainment industry and almost 40 years of marriage, everyone wants to know what their secret is. And without a doubt, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. are the first ones to give credit to God. Listen, thanks for joining us. The career you've had, people tend to talk about it in past tense, but you guys are still going strong. You're still performing. How many shows would you do in a year?
Well, you know, things have slowed down a little bit, of course, because there's so much competition out there, mm-hmm. and we can always do more work than we're doing right now. But we, you know, we're going to be in Vegas over July 4th, and we were just down in the Palm Springs area to celebrate Valentine's Day, and we do a bit of work. I can't tell you the number.
No. Well, that's all right. That numbers don't wreck a good story with facts, you know.
Let's just say we'd love for it to be more.
but you know, Drew, we're doing a lot of ministry work, too, that we don't talk about on the side. Those are a lot of the secular things.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen a few interviews that you've done. I've seen you on a few Christian shows along the way. And would you say it's still a surprise for many people to hear that you two are actually genuine followers of Christ?
I think more people... I think I've heard more surprises from people that they still don't know that Billy and I are married.
Yeah,
more
right,
so than
right.
people not knowing about our faith.
Really?
A lot of people know about our faith, but we've just recently had somebody say, well, I didn't know you guys were husband and wife.
Well, 40 years. I could say 41 coming up July 26th.
Actually, this is the 40th.
Yeah, right.
This is the 40th.
This
right.
is the 40th coming
yeah.
up. Okay. So what's the plans for the 40th? I mean, what's going on?
You know, I'm glad you asked because we're still trying to figure that one out, too. You know, we want to do something. We want to go somewhere and just really celebrate 40 years. But we haven't.
We're putting those plans together now. We're trying to decide which direction we want to go in. We think we'll probably go somewhere outside of the country.
Yeah.
But we just haven't decided in which direction.
Marilyn, I love hearing about proposal stories. And you guys have this incredible love story. But is there a cool proposal story that comes with it? Or did he just take you up for dinner and say, so you wanna?
Well, you know what? Drew was almost like that. What happened was we were up in Vancouver. Performing up there and with the group, and we had all gone over to the home of a friend of ours, and Florence LaRue from the Fifth Dimension and Mark Gordon, who was our manager, had just surprised everybody with an announcement that they were going to get married. So now Billy and I have been going together for, oh gosh, a year and a half, and everybody starts looking at us like, when is your turn? And we said, we're fine. You know, we don't go jump and get married because Florence and Mark are getting married. To tell you the truth, I was a little scared because my parents were divorced after 24 years. And I thought, you know, it doesn't seem like marriages really have much hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we got back to the hotel, and Billy says, you know, baby, I've been thinking maybe we should go on and do the thing.
That was smooth.
And Marilyn said, what thing? I said, well, you know, going to get married, you know, the thing.
And I was so scared because, like I told you, I didn't have a lot of faith in marriage.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, your parents were divorced after 24 years, but Billy, I mean, your parents were married forever.
That's
yes, they
right.
were.
That's where, see, I was the rock on the other side because at the end, my parents had been together for 68 years.
Yes.
And that's what I knew was togetherness. And so my getting married to Marilyn was it, you know? It was it and it was going to be it.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm reminded of a song at this particular point in time. I just thought we'd bring this.
Oh, that's
interesting. Oh, that song.
Folks, I know you know this song. I saw a little YouTube clip, and you came out from behind a set prop and came up and grabbed his hand and looked into each other's eyes. And it looked like this recording was done in 60... No, hold on. Would it be 60... No, when the heck was it? 69, I guess.
Did I come towards him and then he would disappear?
You pulled him away from the group,
uh-huh.
and you started singing to him, you know, I love you, Bill. But you had a rock on your hand at that point in time.
Oh, that right?
Uh-huh.
That right?
I think that, I wonder if that was the Ed Sullivan Show.
It could have been.
Might have been.
Where we were celebrating our fifth anniversary of the group, and actually Wedding Bell Blues was a hit at the time. So I was wearing my wedding ring then.
Right.
Listen, over the years, you guys, seriously, you've met some amazing people. A counterpart of yours, someone that you work with because you're involved with the same publicist, Tony Orlando. He and I have had some great conversations over the years about some of the people he's worked with. He's got some great Jackie Gleason stories, Tony does. I mean, he really does. But you've worked with Ray Charles, Frank Sinatra. You talked about Ed Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. And Jackie Gleason.
And Jackie Gleason, too?
Yes, we did. Right, we actually did his show.
Right. Wow. How would you describe Ray Charles? Could you do a one-word thing?
He was pure genius.
Pure genius, yeah.
He was absolutely a musical genius. I used to enjoy sitting in the audience after our little 20-minute stint and watch him and just listen to him and listen to his interpretations. He was amazing.
Frank Sinatra?
Oh, another one. Another genius. Another amazing. His lyrics. He was a stylist. His lyrics. He could interpret a lyric.
He could interpret the telephone book
to make you know exactly what he was saying.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. That was an amazing moment for us because the Fifth Dimension was quite young at the time, and here we are around Frank Sinatra and Harry James and all these people that came to see him. Jose Feliciano was on the show, and it was just, I mean, we felt like we were in the middle of real Hollywood.
Yeah, we thought, whoa, man, Frank Sinatra, he likes the group. Well, we thought we had kind of halfway made it.
Yeah, we had arrived.
Right.
Well, the original name, if I recall this, the Versatiles, is that right? Versatiles?
That's who we were in the beginning.
And the name changed. Who came up with that name change?
Well, actually, it was Ron Townsend, the heavyset one with the beard.
Yeah, yep.
He came up with it along with his wife, Bobette. And what happened is that our manager told us, and Johnny told us, say, hey, you guys need to change the name of the Versatiles. That's not that great, you know. So what you need to do, go home and put some names, come up with some names, and then we'll come back and we'll all choose.
Yeah.
And Ronald and his wife came up with the Fifth Dimension.
As soon as we heard that name, we all knew
everybody flipped.
That was the name.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, okay, let's talk about this. Fifth Dimension, you know, kind of a groovy name. Aquarius was the big song that ushered in the age of Aquarius.
Right.
You guys got into a whole whack of New Age stuff at the beginning. I mean, I'm sure there was a Baha'i thing going on and a lot of incense.
Baha'is in my
family.
But
we were never Baha'i.
No.
But you know, Drew, at that time, first of all, they hadn't coined the phrase New Age yet.
No, it was just age.
Right. I mean, it was just everybody was into astrology. You know, it's amazing today even to find many people who are into astrology, even believers, even people who should know that that's not, you know, the direction of God's plan. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we were dead off in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Aquarius was just a perfect song for where we were.
Well, I wouldn't say that we were really that deep into it. I mean, we didn't read the papers and stay inside if the paper said stay inside.
No,
well, that's true.
We wasn't that type.
No, I mean, you still had a head on your shoulders.
You know how they used to say, "Well, you're cancer, Yeah, well, we're compatible. You know,
yeah,
all that
exactly.
crazy stuff.
And we had people, you know, of course, being famous and being. People would come up and want to do your chart. You know, they want to tell you what's going to happen to you over the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay, we both came from fairly different backgrounds. If I've got my information right here, Marilyn, you came from a couple of doctors,
right? Mm-hmm.
And you were the polished one, and you know,
Billy, I was the rough stone.
You were the.
I'm still the rough stone. I haven't gotten that much better.
No, I'm still polishing.
Nice.
I'm still trying to polish.
Yeah. So, but here's the switch, though, is that, Billy, as rough as you came from or as rough as your background was, I mean, you had the God background. And Marilyn, that was kind of new to you, the Jesus scene. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you know, I'd gone to Sunday school when I was growing up.
Okay.
But church wasn't the most important thing in my family. We were exposed to church like we were exposed to to many phases of life, you know. But by the time I was in my teens, my mother kind of left it up to us to decide which direction we wanted to go in with our faith.
Hmm.
And so I always felt like I I was going to have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what form that would take. But I knew that at one time in my life that it was going to be important to me. And so when that happened, then I would deal with it. I even got into taking religious instruction to become a Catholic. I was in my late teens.
How'd that go for you?
That lasted about four classes.
Okay.
And then I had a disagreement with the priest, and I wanted to go and discuss it with him, and he told me I just had to accept it on faith and kind of dismissed me, so I didn't go back.
You're right, I did. I grew up in church.
Yeah.
And which was great, but as I got older and started to seek my career, I kind of got away from it. And I did end up in the Catholic Church and was baptized and confirmed. And as I got older, my thing was, and nothing against the Catholic religion, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't get used to confession because I would think that, you know, I'm going in the booth and I'm sharing all my stories with the priest, and he's interceding for me. And I was thinking then, gee, what if something happened to the priest and he doesn't get my message? I got to start learning how, you know, to do it on my own. You know,
yeah, there's got
to
be a direct line here.
You wanted a direct connection.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That we do have that direct connection with the Lord.
Right, right. Amen. Well, we're on the phone with Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. Boy, over the years, their name has been synonymous with all sorts of things on television and Hollywood. I mean, the star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And 5 years, Marilyn, on Solid Gold?
Yeah.
You did a great job on that. Can I just suck up to you right now and say...
I'm loving every minute of it.
You did a really good job. I mean, I like Dionne Warwick. We're thinking about getting her on the show in a little bit, and she can share her spiritual journey. Because, I mean, look, let's talk about an interesting spiritual journey. Hers have been kind of all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, we all arrive where we need to be coming from different places, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, if I told you what I at one time I got into... I was checking out the Eastern mystic religions, and I got into reading Life After Death and A World Beyond. And, I mean, I feel like the Lord just really allowed me to just wander all over the place until he pulled me in. I think it was a couple of months after I had this woman reading my tarot cards, I think God said, okay, that's it.
Yeah, and then he sends a lady into your life who uses the catch word that got your, you know, your head spinning, because that was your word, right? The void word.
The void, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, I started, we went through a little slow period in our careers, and we weren't working as much, and I was just kind of reliving everything, and I started realizing that even with all the success and the money and the fame, and people knew who we were, and we had a big home and a Rolls Royce parked in the garage, and I have jewelry and clothes and furs,
right. Yeah.
And yet I was still feeling like something was missing. And then I thought that there was something wrong with me, because if you have had all of your dreams answered, all of your dreams come true, how could you feel like there's something missing? What's wrong with you? What do you need? What do you want?
Mm-hmm. Billy, I got to ask you, when your wife all of a sudden starts walking around the house with that dusty Bible.
It's a strange sight. Really.
Yeah, that's got to wig you out a little bit. Because, again, you came with a bit of the God background. And you must have been sitting there going, whoa, 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 hold on a second. Aren't I supposed to be taking the lead here spiritually?
Exactly right. You know, I was the one who, and it was strange, too. Because I was the one always telling Marilyn, baby, we are blessed. You don't know how blessed we are. We got our careers are happening. All these things are happening. I said, the Lord is really doing some beautiful things in our lives. But I wasn't the one that was talking a spiritual talk to her about church and going to church and leading. And when I saw her walking around the house with the Bible, I was floored. I said, what is this? This is ridiculous. I mean, it was scary. And then... the Holy Spirit started to convict me about my position in the family, and I should have been the one that was showing her the way. And actually, Marilyn gave her heart to the Lord, and I had to rededicate my life back to the Lord. Hmm. And then I had to turn around and get a personal relationship with him. You know, I thought I knew him. At first, I mean, I knew of him. I knew he died for my sins. I knew all of these things. but I never knew him.
Yeah, it was just part of your resume.
Yes, that's, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And I never knew him. And once I got to know him, it changed my whole everything, everything.
Well, and then he keeps blessing you, especially to the point of this kind of thing. Can you, like, take me back to the day when this lifelong dream of yours comes true, and it's you and James Cleveland together?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, see, when I grew up years ago in the church, James Cleveland was singing with a group called the Caravans, and they used to come in and out of the city. They were out of Chicago. And we used to go and see them, and I used to just love them. And I said, well, one of these days I want to do a project with James Cleveland. That's my lifelong dream. And that dream came true. I was able to do, at that time it was an album with James Cleveland called Let Me Have a Dream.
Hmm.
And James produced it, and I co-produced. And it turned out very well. In fact, we still deal with some of the songs off that album today.
Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. on the phone with us. And Marilyn, I mean, I can imagine the excitement in your life when your lifelong dream came true when you were in the movie called My Mom's a Werewolf.
Oh, no. No, Drew, that wasn't me.
That wasn't
me.
Say, baby, that wasn't me.
That was an impersonator.
Okay. Oh, man. Well,
where did you dig that one up from?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I knew it was a dream for you. I just, you know. Yeah. Hey, Billy, did you actually leave the music scene for a while in the 80s?
No. No, actually, I never left the music scene. You know, what happened was when Marilyn started doing Solid Gold, in fact, not only did didn't leave the music scene, everybody thought that we were separated.
Well, you know what did happen though was you did sort of have a very slow spell there because Billy was dealing with some vocal problems,
and it took him years to
find out that his problems, his struggles, had to do with allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know he was going to doctors and they were saying you have nodes on your vocal cords,
and then
he had some surgery for terminates in his nose, and I mean,
mm-hmm.
Billy went through a lot of changes before mm-hmm. he finally found out that he needed to cut wheat out of his diet,
and a little sugar.
And sugar.
Yeah,
when we get ready to perform now, Billy, like 3 days before we get ready to go on stage, Billy stops eating all sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And wheat. Mm-hmm. And when people hear him sing now, they're saying, "Oh my God, you sound like you did 30 years ago." and these are close friends who knew what Billy was going through when they were mm-hmm. thinking. And I thought myself, and so did Billy. Well,
I thought I was losing it.
Maybe he's losing his voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he's had his time and it was a good time, but maybe he screamed once too often. You know.
Yeah.
And then when you find out that it's something like allergies, what a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is truly a blessing.
It just makes me know that the Lord's not finished with me yet. I got plenty more singing to do for
him. We got more work to do.
Oh, that's good. You know, there's a place up here called Casino-rama. I can't remember whether you guys have played there or not yet.
No.
But if not, I'm going to talk to them up there. They need to get you up because I was reminded when you're talking about Billy's vocal issues with the wheat and the sugar and that kind of thing, I saw Philip Bailey there with Earth, Wind & Fire. And I still cannot believe that guy can hit those high notes.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. It's got to be just God's hand on the guy's life because I know so many others who just can't do that anymore.
That's right.
Well, you know, when you realize that the Lord keeps you out there and people marvel at the fact that we still sing our songs in their original keys, but it's because we try to take care of ourselves. And, you know, that's what we do on our side.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that on the other side, that our health could be gone.
Right.
I mean, our voices could be gone. But we really feel like those are blessings from the Lord and that we need to continue to honor him in everything we do.
Glory to God.
If your voice does go, Billy, I mean, I hope it doesn't. But if it does go, maybe you could get into the major leagues and get your baseball career back on track, you know?
Right. By that time, I wouldn't even be able to swing a bat. What is he doing now?
Well, that's all right. Just do what everyone else is doing. Just take some steroids. You'll be good to go.
Lord, no, not in this temple. I'm telling you.
You know, Billy, when you think back to the early days, you know, the coal and lumber business, your dad's accident, everything that, I mean, even the marriage at 17 and getting drafted, all the stuff that kind of one step after another. And next thing you know, you've moved in with your buddy in Hollywood. Things just start clicking into place. You must look back on the whole thing and see God's hand on it.
Oh, no. You definitely got a point, Drew. When I look back on my life now, I know that I didn't have anything to do with it. God was carrying me through, all the way to meeting Marilyn, all the way to carrying us. We see His hand on everything that we've done, and it's a real blessing. That's why we give thanks to God all the time.
I'll bet you one of the things you thank God a lot for, probably almost every day, is a pair of blue plaid pants.
You did do your homework, didn't you, Drew?
You bringing up all of the no-nos.
Oh, yes, those famous blue plaid pants.
Marilyn, maybe you could tell our listeners, fill in the blanks here, please.
I don't know. Should I be talking about that on a program like that?
Oh, sure. Listen, this is the show that breaks all the rules.
Okay, well, you know, we didn't know the Lord at the time. And Billy was wearing these blue plaid pants that fit him very well. And Billy always moved well on stage. And I don't know when it was that one day I was watching him. We were all on stage together, but I just happened to look over there and I said,
So was that the start of the transition from a 2-year friendship into, you know, nudge nudge wink wink say no more?
I'm afraid so.
I think it was. Yeah.
We'll say that the blue plaid pants certainly had something to do with it.
But you know, I wasn't a victim. I was a victim. I wasn't trying to.
Oh, listen to you. Listen to you.
I was just doing what I was doing.
Poor Billy. Of course, you can imagine him being the victim, can't you?
Yes, I can hear violins in the background somewhere along here. Oh, man. You guys have a really amazing story. And, of course, everybody, the question you get asked all the time is, how did you stay married in the business you're in? And of course, we've got this book here that I have in my hands, Up, Up, and Away, Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr., How We Found Love, Faith, and Lasting Marriage in the Entertainment World. How do you concisely explain how you didn't end up a statistic?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Drew. The Lord in our lives had a lot to do with it because I believe that that we very, very possibly, very probably, we wouldn't be together today without our faith and our commitment and realizing that our commitment to each other is a covenant to each other and also a covenant to the Lord and with the Lord. And I cannot tell you how many times when we've had conflicts where I have ended up on my knees asking the Lord to please help me to understand what was going on, or please help me get through whatever this anger was that I might be dealing with. Help me to see if who's wrong here. Is he wrong or am I wrong? How do I need to approach this? And then the Holy Spirit would reveal so much to me that helped me to start realizing that I wasn't always Miss Right. Because I thought I was.
Well, I'm sorry. Actually, I need you to repeat that because I think my wife is listening. So can you just?
I said I wasn't always. I wasn't always. Oh, that's right.
That's not the word I wanted you to reemphasize.
Oh, you didn't want to hear the always part.
Oh, man.
But you know, one of the things was that I take a lot of the blame for all of that too. That had a going that way because of my alcoholism. I was a heavy drinker. And I had an alcohol problem, and I had to deal with that. That was one of the reasons why I wasn't leading the family, is because I was too busy turning up glasses at the bar.
Yeah, you were being led by the bottle instead of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
And of course, with Billy's drinking, that makes me feel that much more like I'm always right, you know?
Yes, yes.
So, you know, being Miss Righteous.
It doesn't matter what pair of pants he has on.
Yeah, right, yes. Right. Right.
Okay, so would you guys say that the prostate cancer was a wake-up call, or you guys were already solid by then?
Oh, yeah, we were solid.
Okay.
The prostate cancer bout that Billy faced was kind of a wake-up call to the reality of the fact that we're not going to be here forever. I mean, we always say it. We all know it. But when you actually come face-to-face with the possibility, it's scary, and you really, really, that's when your faith plays such an important part in dealing with those challenges. And I thought Billy's handling of it was so wise and so mature.
Can you explain that? How did he handle it?
Billy said, you know, so many people, when these kinds of things happen to them, they say, why me? But Billy said, why not me?
Oh, man.
You know, if it happens to 6 out of 10 men or 7 out of 10 men, why wouldn't it happen to me?
I used to, believe it or not, many people find this quite amusing. I used to be an associate pastor in a church in Australia, and I did a lot of interview messages because I thought, I don't. To pretend I have the answers and to pour out all, you know, this jug-to-mug communication, I don't understand that. So I'm going to, instead of me preaching about grief, why don't I interview a family who just lost their 11-month-old child? And let's really talk about grief. And I asked that question. We talked about the, did you ever shake your fist at God and say, why me? And this lady who just lost her 11-month-old, who has never eaten in her life, she has a shunt, a tube that feeds her through a machine during the night. Her soft tissue digestive muscle does not work, so she's never eaten. She said, looked at me and said to the congregation, why not me? Same kind of thing.
That's powerful.
Yeah, but it blew me away.
You know, when you realize that there's so many people in the world, and just looking at statistics on things that can happen to people, you know, we got to realize that we are one that it can happen to. It's like a friend of ours, the young lady who was singing with Marilyn with Ray Charles, says she's in the hospital, she's fighting cancer right now. And we lots of times we look back and say, why Fritz? Why did it happen to her?
Yeah.
And then you have to say, well, she's another person. Why not? That's just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Again, on the phone with Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr., and I want to tell you about their book. It's called Up, Up, and Away, How We Found Love, Faith, and Lasting Marriage in the Entertainment World. And, of course, this CD that I've got in my hands. By the way, I'm just letting you know right now, I'm going to go out from this interview with one of my... You're covering one of my favorite artists. How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by Drew.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, beautiful song.
That's a good one.
Beautiful song there. James Taylor, and I think Carole King, I think, co-wrote that, or maybe she wrote it and James covered it. I don't know, but all I know is my favorite James Taylor sings it, and that'll work for me.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the reunion. When you got back together with the Fifth Dimension, was it weird? Was there awkwardness?
Yes, there was in the beginning, because there were some, you know, they were upset with Billy and me for leaving the group when we did, and we could certainly understand that, because they were concerned about what was going to happen to them, what was going to happen to their to the group, to their careers, and but Billy and I just felt like the time had come to make that transition.
Well, creatively, you guys were going in different directions.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, when we got back together and we started reliving our old experiences,
it was really beautiful.
Wasn't it
fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, a lot of memories.
And then we'd have to get, you know, Billy and I would have the memories back and forth, but now we had Florence and Lamont and Ronald, and one of them would say, no, that's not the way it happened. It happened like this. And it was so much fun.
Hopefully nobody brought up the plaid pants again or whatever they were.
Well, until they read the book, they didn't know about
okay,
that part.
Good. That's good.
That wasn't something I shared very often.
By the way, can you still fit in those pants, Billy?
In his dreams.
Are you kidding? Probably one leg.
You know, the Solid Gold years, Marilyn, many people have said that was one of the sexiest shows on television.
Yeah.
You know, the Solid Gold dancers. As a matter of fact, I interviewed a lady who used to be a Solid Gold dancer, and I was trying to remember who that was. For the life of me, I couldn't remember it. But, I mean, it seemed like they were going through hosts and co-hosts, kind of like they were changing socks.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were the most consistent there, were you not, Marilyn?
Yeah, well, what happened was the second year they brought in Andy Gibb to be the host. And they selected me to co-host with him. And then Andy was having some emotional problems. And so he ended up leaving. And then they felt like, well, they still wanted a co-host situation. So then they brought in Rex Smith. And after that second year, then they decided that they would just go with me. And then so I ended up hosting by myself. And then, of course, Dion came back for a minute there. And I think she hosted for another year. I don't remember the exact breakdown, but it was.
But
the interesting thing, Drew, is that I was always blamed for the sexiness of the show.
What? Oh, hold on, hold on. No, no, I'm not surprised, actually. Let me think that through for a second, because in doing the research on you and seeing recent pictures versus the pictures of back in the day, you are still an unbelievable creation of God.
Oh, thank you, Drew.
Now, that was some good sucking up right there, yeah.
No, but they were blamed. You know, people don't know how, they don't know the inner workings of Hollywood. So they see me as the front person, so they think that I'm selecting the camera angles, I'm telling the director how to shoot the dancers, I'm selecting the costumes for the dancers so that they can be very scant, you know, skimpy. So they're saying, well, you know, why are you allowing that? And I'm saying, I'm a paid employee just like they are. And I don't have anything to say about that. I mean, I can make a comment, but the ultimate decision is made by the producers. And I never had a production credit with that show.
Are you in touch or are you friends with Dionne Warwick or not really at all?
Oh, yeah. We see Dionne from time to time.
Okay. All
yes,
right.
We do.
Good. I really would love to get her on the show and hear. I mean, this is a show that, I mean, I've interviewed everybody from the High Priest of the Wiccan Church of Canada to leader of Mormon polygamous colonies to, I mean, so I just am very interested in hearing people's spiritual journeys. They don't have to be the nicely tied with a bow on it Jesus journey kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And I think that Dionne has had a really fascinating spiritual journey. Like you said earlier, somewhat similar to, you know, where God reached out and pulled you in from all the different stuff you guys were into.
Exactly.
You know?
God pulls in some at the age of 5, and some of us are in our 30s, you know, when it happens.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. We talked earlier about a word called a werewolf, and I know that was a dream of yours, but the real dream, Marilyn, was this playing the role of Julie in Showboat. Was it not?
Mm. Now, that was truly a dream. I'll acknowledge that when that werewolf thing, I don't know where that came from.
No, where did that come from? I don't know. So I got to fire my researcher. Sorry about that.
But being on Broadway was definitely something that I had hoped I would have the experience of at some time in my career. And, of course, playing the role of Julie in Showboat is just, you know, it's one of the most special roles that you can play.
Yeah.
Well, Marilyn always wanted to play on Broadway.
Yeah, I always wanted to sing and act.
And that was her chance.
Yeah.
That was her chance, and it was a beautiful, beautiful show. She did a beautiful job. And
can I say one thing to Drew? That
please.
You know, in talking about how we've managed to stay together for 40 years, what happened in Showboat was a perfect example of give and take in our relationship. Because performing on Broadway meant that we were going to have to move. And so I was thinking, I'm going to displace Billy, because Billy was not in the production. But he was saying, I'm not going to have my wife working in New York for 5 months and then working in Chicago for 9 months, and I'm going to be in Los Angeles. So Billy moved with me to New York and to Chicago. And this was during the time when he was doing performances on his own. He worked on some cruise ships. He worked in some clubs around, you know, around the country. And he said, it's easy for me to work out of New York or Chicago just like it is to work out of L.A. So he was uprooted with me to give me support and so that our family unit could stay solid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you use the phrase family unit. My apologies for being ignorant or stepping on an area that may be something I shouldn't go into, so you shut it down if you'd like. But children?
We have a son.
Yeah, Billy has a son from his first marriage.
Okay.
And Stephen has been in our lives since he was 5.
Right.
And he lived with us for a number of years. He lived with us for a while, and then he went back and stayed with his mother until he was grown.
Right.
And now he's out here in Los Angeles, and he's married.
Okay.
But
and
we see him all the time.
And he works with us with our ministry.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, that's good. That's neat. But together as a couple, you didn't produce children of your own. Was that a choice? Was that just the way it went? Happened?
That was just the way it happened.
That's the way it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could have ended up with 8 kids. I could have ended up with our couplets.
Yeah. Oh, that was timely, yes.
No, actually, we did go that route of going into
fertility clinic.
Yeah, well, we never quite got that far, but we did go in and see what could be done that would help us.
Is it a sensitive issue to talk about for you guys?
Not really, no, because no. You know, you accept what you're given.
It is, right.
Yeah.
Right, but God gives us children. I mean, we have we got a lot of children that are really our children, but they belong to somebody else.
Right, we have nieces and nephews, and
right.
You know, there's always children out there in need of love,
oh, yeah.
And encouragement and support. And we have a granddaughter, and we have two granddaughters actually, and so we haven't missed out on anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've missed out on giving birth.
Yeah,
I
sure.
would have loved to have had that. Mm-hmm. I've missed out on that special experience of a baby and then watching your child develop into full maturity.
Let me tell you, there's days the novelty wears off.
I know.
But I'm thankful for what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've been given so much, and no life has everything in it.
You know what? I really like you guys.
Well, thank you.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you, Drew.
Again, the book here is called Up, Up, and Away, How We Found Love, Faith, and Lasting Marriage in the Entertainment World. And the CD here, folks, The Many Faces of Love, we're going to go out with a track, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You.
Can I say one thing about the CD?
Please.
We are so excited about this project because, again, it's we feel like a lot of people are interested in our relationship. And keeping marriages together, especially with all the divorces going on.
Sure.
And we felt like The Many Faces of Love was an opportunity for us to share through music and through our favorite love songs our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we picked a lot of the classic hit love songs. And when we say classics, we don't mean from the 30s and 40s. We mean from the 60s and 70s, which is our classic period.
Oh, listen, you've got You Are So Beautiful, a great cover of that.
Okay.
We're going to go out with How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You.
Yes.
You've got When a Man Loves a Woman, We Can Work It Out, Try a Little Tenderness.
Right. Just had such a good time. And all of these things are available on our website, makudavis.com, and also amazon.com and CD Baby. So, you know, it's out there for anybody who's interested.
Yeah, you know, the CD is definitely an extension of our book and our ministry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so it's out there for a reason. It's out there. It's a concept CD, and it's out there for a reason to encourage people.
Good. You know, you've just done my job for me. Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you very much. Maku Davis is the website. The material can be gotten there. I love that word, gotten. And and I want to thank you guys. Thank you for being an inspiration to the rest of us who are just, you know, trying to keep the marriage going and trying to thrive. Not just keep it going. We're trying to kick it into another gear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you guys are an encouragement to all of us. Thanks,
well,
guys.
Thank you for a great interview.
We'll talk to you maybe another time, I hope.
We'd love it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Singing in the background, Marilyn Maku, Billy Davis Jr. Smooth sounds. Might even call it champagne soul. We'll be right back.
And thank you, baby. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Oh, oh. How sweet it is to be loved by you.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Wondering where would I be without you in my life? Everything I did was just a